the 4th annual Video On Demand Awards, finding the stupidest, stinkiest, and downright redundant stuff in all kinds of pop culture, from politics to movies to laughable TV programming to annoying songs on the radio you just want to seal your eardrums from. We are here. We are that show. We are that kind of infamous takedown of other infamous programs. So we're going to give all kinds of categories. I'm going to let Jean-Marc start off a few different ones.
Well, first, glad to be here, as usual.
Woo!
The category I decided to choose is one, especially for this year, is the most cartoonish over-the-top stunts of 2023.
Perfect.
And the nominees for these three are Extraction 2, with the 21 minutes winner, Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning, the whole train sequence, and of course John McFour with All Day Triumph.
Perfect.
Of all things. And my choice for the winner is, of course, because I'm biased, John McFour, All Day Triumph.
Oh yeah. I mean, well, Equalizer 3 hasn't even come out yet. So I mean, the minute it enters the ring, everybody just has to forfeit the match. So.
Oh yeah.
Oh man. So, I got a few different ones. The one, the only, this is going to be mean, but it's okay. He's retired now. I'm going to go with the Bruce Willis Award for most unconvincing stand-in or stunt double. Is it?
No.
All of Bruce Willis's stunt doubles in his last 5 schlocky action movies. Is it Stallone, not necessarily being a stand-in, but trying to look taller than everybody unconvincingly in the last dozen movies he's done? Is it Dolph Lundgren's car driving stunt double in the first Expendables? That is not Dolph, if you look real closely. Is it Jet Li in every other jumping move he does, where it's clearly just more athletic than him? Is it every other Banderas stand-in in his last dozen movies? And the winner is none of these guys. It's whoever is pretending to be the voice of Vladimir Putin in Russia right now. You're not fooling anybody, dude. That's all coming from you. And his stand-in in that case happens to be none other than Steven Seagal. So that alone is why he wins.
Of course. As he should.
As he should. I'm going to award that sure as fuck isn't anything like that award for the most unconvincing depiction of a place or country. And the winner goes to every other country in X-Men Origins Wolverine.
Oh, I forgot about that.
They didn't even get the titles right. They didn't even get Vegas right. That's the best stunt of the movie. Good Lord.
Yeah.
Fucking Marvel.
As usual with them.
Here's one for you. The Say My Name, it's John Shaft Award for most non-subtle hero. Who can you think of that fits this bill?
Well, if I have to be completely honest there, even though I like this character, but let's be honest. You could say it's a laughable name, almost like an 80s type of name. And to me, that award goes to Tyler Rake, Extraction 2.
It's busting everyone's face in it every other scene. I'm Thor!
Might as well, at this point.
Oh, fuck it. I'll give another one. The Skynet Award for the worst computer of the last 3 decades. And the winner is Windows XP. Get fucked. Biased, I know.
I know. Oh, I just thought of another one.
That's why we're here.
Here we go. Well, how about a film with an intriguing premise, but completely fails to deliver on that premise? And that award most definitely goes to 65, being boring as hell.
Oh, the Adam Driver trapped on a planet movie. Is he on trapped on Mars? Where is he trapped? He doesn't even know.
He's trapped on Earth 65 million years ago.
Oh my god.
Because it's the dinosaurs, even though there's barely any dinosaurs in the movie. But we gotta advertise that the studios are.
Oh god. Here's one for you. The Walton Goggins Award for Best Redneck Stereotype Portrayal.
Oh god.
Howdy y'all.
I could have done a whole list of those.
Hell, let's just say Walton Goggins on Justified.
You might as well. Yeah. With a close runner-up being anybody from Logan Lucky. That's
still like, oh, there you go. You know? Oh, howdy, y'all. I got a sports car. Ooh-wee.
Yeah, because that's how everybody in the South talks, which is not true.
Right. What the hell did that accent come from? Because it wasn't anywhere on this planet.
Unless you go like deep into the woods.
Want to give shit for John Malkovich playing a Russian in Rounders. I don't know, man. Not sure anymore. Everyone else is an alien. From a different dimension.
That's what it seems like.
Okay, well, here's one for you. The Conan O'Brien Award for Funniest Talk Show Host, even when they're not on a talk show.
And that most certainly goes to Conan O'Brien.
Oh, perfect.
Oh, I got another one.
Perfect.
How about probably the award for the most miscast villain for either a franchise or a supposed franchise.
Von Sala in Escape Plan 3. I'm just kidding.
I have two nominees for this. Hugh Grant for Dungeons & Dragons.
Oh, yes.
And Dermot Mulroney for Scream 6.
Ooh. Spoiler! I'm just kidding.
Well.
Yeah, Dermot seems like this? He's looking at his tax returns versus being intimidating in a room these days. Oh.
And my personal award goes to Dermot Mulroney, especially since he acts more like a cartoon character than an actual person.
I declare a mistrial. Who Grant was this?
So, yes, because I have to be insane almost every take, and no one tells me to stop.
Right.
I go up to 11.
I'm a rich British twat who sleeps with whores. Awesome. We're not getting better than that. That's awesome. Echo 2, we have just teleported Tom Lindemann back into the award show session, and man, we're going to talk about some serious shit.
Wait a minute, I thought this was going to be humorous shit.
Oh, it is. Some of it's deeper.
So it's seriously humorous shit.
Seriously fucked up humorous shit. Yeah, there you go. Here you go.
Come to the right place.
Woo-wee. Here's an award for you. The Outdoing Your Day Job Award for performers giving performances that don't merit the effort nor the content of the film. Is it JCVD in Double Impact? Is it Mickey Rourke in The Expendables? Is it Ed Harris in Top Gun 2? Why is he here? Is it Anthony Zerb in Kiss and the Phantom of the Park? Or is it Randy Spears in every movie he's made?
You know what? Out of the choices, I have to go with Kiss Meets the Phantom of the Park.
I just knew you were going to pick that one.
Nice. Oh, if only because of the brilliant acting of Paul Mr. Stanley.
Oh, yeah, that's true. He's in it too. Oh, my God.
Easy, Catman. They are serious. And they got guns.
They got guns, baby. Guns.
Yeah. Besides, they also have one of my favorite guitarists of all time in their Ace Frehley. One of the two backbones of the band.
There you go. Makes it worse syndrome. Here's one for you, and you can pick whatever you want. The Use the Shit Luke Award for most awkward Star Wars franchise moment.
This is going to go back a little ways. It's going to go all the way back into the early.
Sound like Dan Carvey's George W. Bush. Mm-hmm. Right over here.
Actually, I'm Casey Kasem. We're going to go to the middle of the 2010s. And that biggest mess up of all time, Disney acquiring the Star Wars franchise.
There you go. Why the hell is Darth Maul in the Solo movie? If it doesn't make sense if you haven't seen all the damn cartoons.
Yeah. I'm also going to tell you that the one casting that I thought was absolutely brilliant in Solo was Donald Glover as Lando. He had it. The I didn't only even have to see him do anything or say anything. I just knew he was locked into Lando. Everybody else sucked.
He's the only one who cared. Mary Clark, no thank you. Anyway. Okay, we got another one. I got another. So I got the Holy Crap Batman Award for the most infamous Batman movie moments. Let me know if I'm missing one. I didn't have a clear-cut winner. I'm just going to read them off. The Poison Ivy puns, Bat nipples, and Bat credit card in Batman and Robin. Bane's voice and sewer-based nukes in The Dark Knight Rises. Or the Penguin traps and Christopher Walken's monologues in Batman Returns. I know I'm missing something. I'm sure there's a infamous animated segment on Justice League.
Oh, I'm even going further back than that.
Oh, Super Friends level perfect.
Oh, even further back than that.
Oh, we're talking the 40s one with the bigoted cops and Chinese slurs.
Nope.
Nope.
Somewhere right in the middle. 1967 or 68, the Batman movie with Adam West.
Oh, is it with the shark bat disappearing?
Shark repellent.
There you go. Wham. Yeah, that wins. Sorry. Love you, Adam West.
Yeah, sorry. But bat nipples are fine. Bat credit card, fine. Bat shark repellent.
It's too much. It's too much. Dark Knight Rises sucks, but this one, it's too much. Alrighty, I got one for you. You can choose if any of this makes any sense, but you can see what shit sticks. The Must Reach Utility Belt Award for the most bizarre spy gadget.
Well, we've already done the bat.
I know. I'm talking like just what's a James Bond movie that just the shit's just too much where you're like, I'm sorry, it's taking me out of the movie. What the hell's going on?
I'd have to say, I think it was either Spy Kids 2 or Spy Kids 3 where they had a watch that could do everything except tell time.
Yeah, what's the point of a watch if it can't even do that? Oh. Yeah, that wins. Oh my god. There was something even bizarre in that awful fourth one with Jessica Alba and Joel McHale that no one saw, where it's like they could climb up the sides of like caves, but only for a limited amount of time. It's like, well, then what's the point of all this extra gravity boot if you've got a timer?
Exactly.
On? I get that it's a cartoon, but come on, Rodriguez. What the fuck? Okay. I have the Crystal Skull Award for most insulting franchise entry or infamous sequel. Is it?
No.
Is it the resurrection of Sean Connery in Highlander 2? Is it the Matrix Resurrection's entire confusing yet ultimately redundant narrative? Is it the completely irrelevant Tony Soprano movie prequel, which isn't even about Tony? Is it the farmhouse bombs in Rambo 5? Is it the banjo singing in Star Trek 5? Is it the recent CSI show framing every other hero on the show in implausible fashion? Is it the impregnating scene in Highlander 5? Google it.
No, I'm afraid I will not.
Well, it's not graphic. Basically, he has sex with a woman, even though he's immortal and can't have children. It just totally throws the rules out for no reason. Is it the dinosaur mutants in the Jurassic World trilogy? But I got something for you. None of these wins. It's the damn entirety of the Crystal Skull instead.
Oh. Oh.
What a fun premise wasted on Shia LaBeouf and monkeys and Russians. Ugh.
I will take it a step further. I will take it.
Overriding.
I am overriding.
Overriding.
The Tim Burton Planet of the Apes movie.
Ah, yeah, that wins. Yep. Yeah, no contest.
It was a start of an attempt or attempted start at a franchise.
Even Marky Mark doesn't want to talk about that fucking movie.
And he was in the Funky Bunch.
Get down and jiggy with the apes. Oh.
Yeah, there was just something so completely wrong about that, even for a Planet of the Apes fan like myself. I gave it a chance.
Even the Twilight Zone is scratching its head saying, what? What? Oh, gosh.
Yeah, but that was just... Deep I left the movie theater feeling like a piece of my childhood got ripped away from me. But then I eventually got it back.
Yes. Oh, man.
When I went back and saw the hammy acting of one Charlton Heston.
There you go. Like Fight Club, we don't talk about the old one, Planet of the Apes. Oh, man. So, any other awards you want to just say to just close it out? Be my guest.
Absolutely. I've got the most John Wickiest movie clip from John Wick. The John Wickiest of the entire franchise.
Yes.
John Wick 4. There are two scenes. Two scenes that went on way too long, but only one of them was even halfway entertaining. One of them was the car chase scene.
I love a good car chase scene.
Nope, part four. It took whatever you did in part two and stretched it out over several minutes. Just doing impossible stunts, skidding around, doing all these things. Yeah, everybody's shooting each other, everybody doing this, that, and the other thing.
I mean, this guy fell off a building in part three, after all.
Yep. But the thing of it is, it looked like they were trying to do a Fast and Furious movie in the middle of a John Wick movie.
Yes. Definitely had that tone. Yeah.
And then there was the staircase.
Yeah.
The most infamous staircase.
You're not talking about part two? I'm just kidding.
Nope. The staircase, part four. The most infamous staircase scene since The Exorcist.
Oh my God. That is high praise.
But instead of somebody falling down those steps, it was somebody fighting up those steps repeatedly. If they had put them in cars, it would have been a Fast and Furious movie within a John Wick movie.
Yeah. But fortunately, we don't have to hear Vin Diesel ramble.
Yeah. Now, another one that a misunderstood sequel. This is another word I want to give. This one's going to be for Doctor Strange, the Mirrorverse or the Multiverse of Madness.
I love that one. Sam Raimi wins. Yeah.
Yes. It upped the humor a little bit, but I fought more than ever.
Many mummy and Evil Dead moments.
Yeah, but the thing that really caught me was Elizabeth Olsen. She got the soul of the character in the classic Marvel way. I know there are plot holes. I know there are people who will nitpick
the
hell out of it.
What do you expect?
But there has been no villain to date that has best exemplified the Marvel model than Elizabeth Olsen. She was a sympathetic villain.
Yep.
You didn't get that with either one of the Fantastic Four movies. You didn't get that with the Blade movies. You didn't get that with the Avengers. You didn't get that with Captain America. You didn't get that with. You definitely didn't get that with with Captain Marvel, because that just sucked all together.
Mm-hmm.
But
fucking Brie Larson and Hating Men.
It wasn't just that. It was just she makes. I'll put it this way: she makes Kristen Stewart look like Geechee Guy.
It doesn't help when you also hire two you know, unimaginative indie guys who want to just take their self-indulgence in time, when it's like, no, you're doing a giant, expensive blockbuster movie, dude. Get to it.
Exactly.
We're not here for scenery. We're here for a story. Yeah, this is like Leroy Jenkins. Let's do this.
You kind of need that kind of.
Let's do this.
Leroy Jenkins. And now the film that killed the superhero franchise, movie franchise. I gotta say, it's Eternals.
Yeah.
There's no point to it.
There really isn't. There's nice scenery and actors, but I can't tell you what the plot was.
Yeah, it'd be like DC coming out and saying, you know what? Screw Superman, Batman, Wonder Woman, you know, Justice League, people you know, screw them. We're gonna go with Ambush Bug.
Let's just show them in a garden, nurturing their cattle and talking about stuff that ultimately isn't even shown.
Exactly.
We can't afford it.
I will say there is one Marvel movie of the current batch that I have not seen yet, but I desperately want to because I love the character. It's Shang-Chi in the Rings of Power.
Dig out the Ben Kingsley's annoying character, and it's dynamite. It's a lot of fun. I mean, there's a speed parody at the start. You gotta love it.
Yeah. Of course. Talking about being unimaginative, but making it fun.
Right. No, I'll take it over Abrams' bullshit any day. That man has no soul. Yeah. There you go. The J.J. Abrams Award for most soulless cinema. What do you got for me?
What do you got for you? Well, aside from J.J. Abrams, there's
right.
J.
Besides
Abrams.
His lack of being able to make a coherent movie and ripping off the Pulp Fiction briefcase and every other plot twist.
Let's see. Oh, there's also Michael Bay.
Yeah, but he doesn't care. I like his earlier stuff, but after Transformers, he needed to take a chill pill.
cryogenic chamber. Cryogenic
there you
chamber,
go.
Rather.
He's in isolation.
There hasn't been a lot of movies lately that have really jumped out at me and said, you know what, this is something you need to talk about. So I'm going to go back to a hidden gem that deserves a lot more credit than it's gotten. And it's Seeking a Friend for the End of the World.
Yeah, we talked about this a few more shows ago. That movie rules. That movie is so underrated.
Yes, it is. The first few minutes sets up the premise so well. And if you're not laughing at that first scene, check your pulse, because you're most likely at the end of the world.
Yep. It's so much fun.
I also have another one. I'm going to throw in another award here. The Diminishing Returns Award. I'm going to talk about the trilogy with Shaun of the Dead, Hot Fuzz, and At the World's End.
There you go.
Shaun of the Dead, I would say nearly perfect movie. Hot Fuzz, still great, but just a step lower. I love the absurdity of it, but then At World's End,
that sucks.
I checked out. I said, no thanks. We'll don't call us, we won't call you.
Yeah, it was bad. Total waste of Pierce Brosnan.
Yeah. there's a lot of waste in there, from Simon Pegg on down.
Yeah.
But
I'm with you. Need more zombies and other stupid shit. But
yeah, because that's what we did. That's what we do.
It's why we like to do
it. Here's another hidden gem that I'm going to throw out there. Or that has gotten a lot of attention, but not necessarily the level of attention deserves. It's I'm Gonna Get You, Sucker.
There you go, Keener and
I was watching. I was watching that again not that long ago, and absolutely just fell in love with it all over again. Because
this is the Chris Rock roasting the guy at the cafe alone.
Yes, No.
What do you think Wonder that mean? Yeah. Yeah, I want ribs. Oh man.
What six or no, one rib. And then the old one is touching like, yep, change for 100. It's that kind of a combination of the parody of the blaxploitation films that I absolutely love.
Right.
But it's also the cleverness of how it's presented. It's like when you come into a bunch of movies like your Ace Venturas or Dumb and Dumber or just any quote unquote comedy that's come out with the last 10 years.
Police Academy.
Where they beat you over the head with the comedy.
You find it funny? Find it funny? No, not anymore.
But just the way they snuck in jokes, the things you have to be ultra, ultra smart to catch.
Right. Anything from a statue looking like it has a boner to just, you know, just something where you is like, just, you have to pause for a minute. You're like, oh, I see what they did.
Yeah. But by far the best performance in that movie that I had not expected, Eve Plum as the wife of the black nationalist leader.
There you go.
Yep.
Best villain of blaxploitation.
Oh, yes. And of course, you know the theme song that was playing on the TV in the background as the kids were running in? The Brady Bunch.
There you go.
And that just up that comedy level to the moon. And I was shocked at the way Eve Plum literally, I don't know how she kept it together, because it was such, it was just so bizarre.
But I'm sure, so I mean, beautiful. Kinnery is known for just getting everyone comfortable. So, I mean, I'm sure. Yeah. You just said, hey, just be yourself. You want to let loose, go for it.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, I have to put in a plug for my favorite Riff Tracks movie that I keep going back to again and again and again. Birdemic Live.
Oh, yeah. That was the first Riff Tracks I went to. That is, I might go. I've seen their home stuff, but man, that was something else. I was like, see, this movie exists. I thought they were making shit up. This guy actually thought, this guy talks shit about Tommy Wiseau. And once that's like, he has made a masterpiece.
Yeah, I was talking to a friend of mine about James Wan, and he knew of him, but I think I kind of shocked when I said, well, James Wan has this amazing ability to want to be like Hitchcock and then figure out ways to put Hitchcock actors in roles that were just a glancing role.
Using stock footage of Tippi Hedren just so we can get her in there. I'm like, what is this?
Exactly. Exactly.
What are you doing? It's inconsequential. Inconsequential.
Now, one more award I want to give out. That is relating to the big fear that computers are going to be taking over writers' jobs in Hollywood.
We just awarded a Skynet award to Windows XP. I should award it to AI, though.
I was going to award it to HAL 9000.
Oh, there you go. Homelander and all these other invincible guys, Dr. Doom, got some serious competition if they go against them.
That's right. And don't forget that I'm still keeping my eye out on Johnny Five. Because he's just a little too friendly. Same thing with Wall-E. They're gonna do something. They're plotting something, I know it. And if they can get Tweaky from the Buck Rogers TV series, then you've got yourself a power trio. The X and Y axis powers.
Perfect. Mel Blanc, we miss you. Tell AI to fuck off.
We're sorry. We're sorry about the newer versions of the Looney Tunes. We're sorry. Please don't kill me.
I haven't even seen those. Are those bad?
Oh, they are.
The animation looked okay, but it looked like they just had so many weird voices. And it's like, well, why?
Yeah, I'll put it this way. If you remember the Looney Tunes superhero cartoon from like the turn of the
century. 06. Yeah, it was like Maniacs Unleashed or something. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was making them all look like X-Men, but it looked to me, it had some good ideas. I think the animation turned people off because it looked too much like that awful Disney's Mighty Ducks cartoon where they were like actual superheroes and actual ducks. I'm like, come on.
That show makes the new Looney Tunes look positively. It makes the superhero show, Maniac Unleashed or whatever, makes that look incredibly good.
Is Billy West even still doing the voice, or they hire other people?
I have no idea. I tuned out.
You're like, no.
Yeah,
nope.
I literally tuned out. But more importantly, I had to go to therapy for that.
Damn.
And now I'm Elma J. Fudd, millionaire. I own a mansion and a yacht.
I'm hunting wabbits.
But definitely, kids. If you want to go out to the theater, and good luck. I wish you all the best. Hollywood isn't putting out its best, and and right now with the strike going on, I'm thinking that we might be seeing
the start of the time apocalypse.
When Hollywood no longer rules, and you might get a few more good streaming services out there to make good content. But right now,
oh, there you go. You should get canceled as a site award. Who are you going to give it to? Which streaming giant? Because HBO Max has changed its name more times than Prince. And Netflix seems to just want to piss everyone off because they're just looking at Wall Street stock. And Shudder, I'm sorry, I'm not a fan.
I have to go with Netflix because they keep reading the tea leaves wrong. They put stuff out that they know is going to piss off enough people to generate controversy. But you do that enough times, you get burnt out and people start to leave. And before you know it,
you're not fooling anyone.
Exactly. And the whole thing comes down to you have to retain the people that are there. And with networks like Paramount Plus, who are taking up some of the good stuff they had,
they and Apple just needed a year to grow, but they launched too soon during the pandemic. These guys are not only Leroy Jenkins operated, but like they seem to also kind of want to do the whole fool me once tactic that Chris Nolan, Jordan Peele, and M. Night Shyamalan have done, where it's like, okay, yeah, it's one insulting plot twist too many. Stop it.
Yeah. And I will say this for Netflix, before I just eventually got tired of it and canceled it, they did have a good He-Man cartoon.
Yeah, I thought it was okay. I didn't mind that.
Yeah, the one where we had Evil Lynn kind of siding with the good guys for a while, and Tila growing up as
the Allstate guy doing some voiceovers.
Yeah, I'll tell you, that was really well done. I was not upset at all with it. It was Revelation. That's what it's called, It was very well done. The animation style was great. The voice actors they had were impeccable. I bought into the story, and I wasn't as pissed off as a lot of the He-Man fans were, because they're saying, "No, this isn't He-Man." Of course, it's not. It's He-Man. This is about some of the side characters.
It's not like the Willow show where it just seems to not know what it wants to do with anything.
Yeah, it's just putting it out there because they had people. They had people. They had time, and they had a desire to waste a lot more money.
Oh, and you get so intimidated just reading the reviews before you even watch the program now. You'll have all the trolls online saying too woke, too PC, and then you'll have other people saying, yeah, I tried, it's boring after 3 episodes.
I will give one more award, though. This TV show that keeps getting renewed but really shouldn't be, Velma.
Oh, yeah, that is... I thought that at first, okay, so maybe people who hate us... JWs are gonna hate it, but then I see it and I'm like, yeah, see, that animation's all wrong. Why is it R-rated? No. It'd be like if you had Muppets throwing poop at each other. Like, well, why would you do that? No.
That's coming up next season.
God. I look forward to the deep hurting.
But the thing about it is that there's a lot of backlash against the criticism to the point where even something that is legitimately a point of contention is really tossed aside as, oh, it's just these trolls doing this. But legitimately, I saw an episode or two. I did not laugh. I did not like it.
Why is it rated R? It does not go with the tone.
Yeah, and the way they... You could tell the way they wrote it. They were thinking, okay, you have to have the white guy be the dumb one. And you can't have Shaggy, but you gotta have Shaggy because he's part of the group.
And I do enjoy Mindy Kaling and her other comedy projects, but I don't know what her crew was thinking. It was like, this isn't anything that anyone wants to see.
They were doing cookie cutter. They really were. And I'm not a fan of that. You need to have motivations behind the characters
instead of just a case of the week and other bullshit. Yeah,
or the cause, or the how are we going to make Fred look like an idiot this week? That gets a lot.
That is just negative and not even progressive.
Yeah.
So that means worst cartoon of the decade. All right, perfect.
So far, I'm going to put it up there for quite possibly of all time.
Oh, perfect. I mean, there's lots of shit on Cartoon Network I'll never watch because there's, again, just confused in tone, not even appropriate for kids. Like, you'll have bullies who are the heroes where you're like, what the hell is wrong with people?
Oh, yeah. Now you have me thinking about it because now I have one more award to get. I know I keep doing this, but
the final award,
best anime that you probably haven't heard of.
Chainsaw Man.
Nope. Photon Idiot Adventures. Yep.
Coming to a pharmacy this summer. I'm kidding.
Coming to a pharmacy near you. I'm serious. As much as I loved One Punch Man, the only season I saw, Photon Idiot Adventures just literally blew that out of the water. It does have some adult themes, so it's not going to be, don't want to have your parents hanging around or your little nieces and nephews, but it is so freaking funny. And the hero in all of this, he gets painted as an idiot. He's sort of like a Japanese Ziggy, for lack of a better term. But in the end, he proves himself. So he's not the idiot. He's the hero that his little group needed him to be.
Nice.
So definitely check that out. It's on Tubi, or at least it was last time I checked, but definitely check it out. You will laugh.
Like this. I gotta see it.
And believe me, sometimes it might take a little while to kind of get used to the tone of it, but give it your full attention for the full run. It is well worth it. There are some awesome payoffs, and I can't stress this enough. It's one of the best anime I've ever seen, and I'm still dipping my toe into the anime world. So I've seen some good ones. I've seen some ones that are like, nah. But Photon Idiot Adventures is one that you definitely need to see to believe.
I pretty much saw all the classics of the 80s and 90s, like Steam Boy, Ninja Scroll, Akira, and then Ghost in the Shell. And then after that, I kind of just couldn't keep up with it.
Yeah, but definitely check this one out.
How many episodes of Bleach are there? What? What's funny is everyone was like, that's the shit. And then now I'm seeing people talk trash. It's like, oh, Bleach was never good. I'm like, see? People just evolve every decade. First they say it's awesome, then they say it sucks. They're worse than Star Wars and Halloween fans.
But not MST3K or Rift Tracks fans. We're good.
Yeah. Leave us alone, guys. Leave us alone.
Yep. Well, those are all the awards I have for now. If you would like me to provide you with more awards, feel free to contact me on my social media.
Yes. Give him an awesome movie to watch so he can roast it on wherever.
Exactly.
That's all for now, dollies.
We'll return after these messages.
Hello and welcome to Culture Shocked, the pop culture podcast brought to you by four aging millennials and our outdated opinions. Join us every Tuesday as we discuss movies, TV, games, and even music, new and old.
Dude, what do you think you're doing?
Are you seriously trying to record a promo without us right now?
Well, yeah.
Dude, you can't just do the promo by yourself. Who's gonna listen to that?
Yeah, and you probably haven't even told them that we're a pop culture podcast where we always agree on everything. For instance, the Sam Raimi trilogy easily being the best of the Spider-Man movies.
No. But I think we can all agree that Jaws is a classical masterpiece.
Nope, don't like that. But we do all agree that the sequel trilogy of Star Wars is the best in the Skywalker saga, right, guys?
That comment is so ridiculous. I don't even know where to
Anyways, that'll do it from all of us here at Culture Shock. Thanks for listening.
Hey, it's Brent Pope, the host of Breakfast with Brent Pope. You've seen me on some of your favorite TV shows saying things like, "Give it up, Jimmy. You got to sink this putt to win." On Breakfast with Brent Pope, I sit down with guests from the entertainment world and we do it all over breakfast. Or should I say Breakfast? Every week on Breakfast, you get inside Hollywood info and tips, great breakfast wrecks and booty debates. Most of all, you get the most delightful 30 minutes of your week. So dig in. It's breakfast time. Listen at breakfast.com, Apple Podcasts, or wherever fine podcasts are found.
Do you ever find yourself thinking about who would win in a fight between Goku and Superman? Hi, I'm James Gavsey, and on the Who Would Win show, me and my co-host Ray ignore anything important happening in the outside world and debate fictional battles between characters from comics, movies, and video games.
We got a new show every week, and almost always am I the winner.
Yeah, not true, Ray.
In the past, we've discussed such matches as Captain America versus Darth Vader, Solid Snake versus the Iron Giant, classic matchups like RoboCop versus Terminator, and even the Muppets versus Sesame Street.
That one was crazy. So if you're a fan of geek culture and love a spirited debate, check out the Who Would Win show wherever you get your podcasts, or check us out at whowouldwinshow.com.
We let things pile up in the DVR, we add them to our queues, we wait for the DVDs and Blu-rays. We time shift. The Time Shifters Podcast. Sci-fi, horror, fantasy, superheroes, comedy, action, film, television, maybe some not-so-current events. Find us on iTunes or at timeshifterspodcast.com.
Cool thing about Blind Knowledge is we are in multiple countries. We are worldwide, all across the globe. We are in the US, we are in the UK, we are in Canada, Germany, India, Japan, we're in Australia, y'all. BlindKnowledge.com. Now back to the feature presentation.
Follow us on the web on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. The podcast is available on Podbean, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Anchor, Apple, and anywhere else podcasts are available. Feel free to review our show and leave comments on any of those sites. Thanks a million for listening. It's a Jacked Up.